Desire your prayers that the Lord will help us and to be able to give the word clearly this morning. This would be probably our third message on servitude. Some of you have not been here during the other two messages, so if you will bear with us, we will give just a little quick review. First of all, we have had a burden for the Church of God, for us to have a healthy, successful, productive body of Christ in the earth. That's our burden, has been for several weeks. And I would like to just remind us of the that if the body is complete, that it will be healthy and it will be productive. And what I mean by it, when it is complete, it is when everyone is filling their place in the body, that is complete. The scripture, you know, says it, he sets the members in the body as it pleaseth him. And that one member is not any more important than another. This is scripture. And we cannot say to one part of the body, I have no need of you. We need all of the members of the body. And the scripture says, if the body was made up of only one member, it says, where would the body be? I want us to, I'm just inserting these things this morning just as a little reminder of what our burden is. I'm thinking about Peter when Jesus said, do you love me? And then feed my sheep. And we know that after a while, Peter said, well, what is this man going to do? And Jesus actually said, what is that to thee? For a healthy body of Christ in the earth, you and I need to be fully confident that I'm filling my place, and then trust God to help everyone else fill their place. Not worry about, well, what's he going to do? One thing that I have observed is that sometimes when someone has a place in the body, it's almost like they think everybody else should do that too. That's not the workings of God. He wants us all to fill our places in the body, and then it will be healthy and it will be complete and it will work. And you and I can be blessed and we can be satisfied when we are filling our place in the body. So just wanted to reaffirm that. First message we had on servitude was concerning hospitality. Using hospitality, it said to all men, especially to the household of faith. There is a special calling of you and me serving the saints, but there's still a calling that we serve all men. And it says not to do it grudgingly. This is just some of the scriptures that we had. We ended that little message that time on doing the work of God, doing our work as unto the Lord and not unto men. We will be disappointed if we're doing it unto men. But when we have it in our hearts and our minds, our purpose is, I'm doing this to the glory of God and not to the glory of man. That's where the blessing is. And that's where you and I can also be productive. The second message, which was last Sunday night, we started out with a principle. And I would like to reaffirm that this morning. It was from Hebrews 4:1-2. and it speaks there about not being able to enter into the promise of rest. And it said because it was not mixed with faith. So we wanted to use this little principle of all that we do being mixed with faith, and for it's because of faith, of the work that I do in serving others. We used also James, the second chapter of works and faith, comparing the two. James 2:18 said, I will shew thee my faith by my works. It went on and it said, the scripture said, the blessing of the Lord is on that which he builds. Now that's my words. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. We spoke about the Lord being the one that is building our place of work, so to speak, leading us, and that the blessing will be there. That's one side of the coin. We need to know what the Lord is showing us to do. I gave a few examples of my own experience driving up the highway, I-35. This is just one little experience. And the Lord said, a car passed me. How many cars pass us every day? And the voice of the Lord says, pray for that man. See, that's when the Lord is ordering it. And I kept the burden. I didn't know that man's name. Didn't know where he lived. But for some reason, God said, you pray for that man that just passed you. And I did. I carried a burden for that man for some time. Another example that I gave was that driving on the highway, never had the Lord stopped and said, you stop and help those people parked right there. But the Lord did it. And the blessing of the Lord was so rich. I came away from that situation and I said, I want to do this every day. Well, it's not like that every day, but the Spirit of the Lord will come along. We need to be aware of the still small voice that says, you do this now. This is where your blessing will be. See, this is the work I want you to do. And we had other examples, but the Lord desires for us to understand his voice and then perform that work. But on the other side of the coin, there's another scripture that says, whatsoever your hand findeth to do, you do it with all of your might. And so we also have a scripture that says, for us not to see our brother in need and then just say, well, you be warmed and filled, somebody will do it. When you and I see certain things, then we're obligated to do that work. And whatever we do with all of our might. And I would like to say that that can carry over into our workplace also, that the people of God should always be an example of honesty and integrity on their jobs and willing to work for 1 hour of pay with 1 hour of time and so forth like that. Now, that's just a little side note there. But the Lord wants to order our work for the Lord, but he also wants you and me to see where there is a need and then go and fill that need and do it with all of our might. We also spoke about opportunities. We have opportunities that come in our path. And one scripture we used was in Job. It said that we could be the eyes to the blind. We could be feet to the lame, and we could be a father to the poor. And that was just a little places that we can look for opportunities in serving mankind, serving the saints and serving mankind. It goes across the board, see? And then Jesus said, and this is familiar, he said to those that were there at the end, he said, I was a stranger. and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me, and I was hungry and you fed me. And what did they say? They said, when did we see all of that? And he turned and he said, inasmuch as ye did it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye did it to me. So this is part of the work of being a servant, serving mankind, serving the saints of God. God is calling for all of us to be servants in the body. Thank the Lord. Well, we want to start now with this particular part of that's what I've already quoted, James 2 and 18. I want to also look at 26. It says, I will shew thee my faith by my works. And then verse 26 says this, the body without the spirit is dead. So faith without the works is also dead. So what we're wanting to encourage us this morning is, whatever you do, doing as unto the Lord, do it with faith. Faith and believing. John 6, verses 27 through 29. If you'll turn with me over there, we will have a thought. Jesus said something there that I believe is very important for us to apply to being a servant right now. Our work for God, verse 27 says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that which endureth unto everlasting life. I don't believe he's meaning here what I eat off of my table, although he used that as a little example there. I see in this little passage here that he's trying to say something to us about being selfish or self-centered or self-serving. As human beings of this earth, you and I can be very conscious of our own personal needs, our little family. And once said, you know, me and John and my wife and my children and no more. I want to take care of those. We have a call for eternal things that go beyond my four walls. It goes beyond the four walls of this building. It's the work of God. And these people that he was speaking this to, they said to him, they said, well, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? That's a good question for all of us. We could ask God that right now. Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me how do you want me to work in this world, in this body? See, we've got to be considering mankind and the house of faith, the household of faith. It's all in there together. And so we come to the Lord and we say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Did you know he'll begin to mold you and shape you and winnow your path and put opportunities there, and he'll begin to open it up, and you will feel the blessings of the Lord, and you will know I've done the will of the Lord, and it will be such a blessing. He went on to say, this is the work of God. And it seems so simple that ye believe. Isn't that faith? We could just stop right there and say that ye have faith in God. That God is able to put in your path that work that needs only your hand to do. Did you know there are certain jobs that only you are fitted to do? Because he said that in one place. He said, he gave one 5 talents and one 2 and one 1. And he said he did it according to their ability. And when the one that had only one, and he went and hid it in the earth, because he was afraid. Don't be afraid of doing the work of God. When he gives you opportunity, when he puts it in your path, speak that word. Speak it under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Give your testimony. Oftentimes, that's the only way we can gain the confidence of other people is through a testimony. To go out and preach to them often will not get their attention. But as they watch your life and as they see your work, as they feel your love in that work, love your work. I spoke about that last Sunday night, about loving what we do for the Lord, taking joy and pleasure in it. I spoke about when the Lord called me to work in the school at Guthrie. It was my first call to ever have from the Lord for any job that I knew of. And I was so blessed. Every day I said I came home from school with a spiritual high. I called it that. Like you were high on drugs, I was high. I was high on the Spirit of the Lord. He was blessing me so much. It was like a honeymoon. And he did that. He did that because after a while, the tests come. Satan is always going to test your work. And you have to look at the blessing of the Lord in the beginning of it because it'll help you keep going when the test and the trial comes for the work. So the Lord is desiring for you and me to find that place and hear that still small voice and not be selfish. Let me tell you something about being selfish. A number of years ago, we were eating in a Chinese restaurant, and you know, they have these little placemats in front of you that has their horoscope things, and this is you're under this sign, you know, if you're born in this year and so forth. Well, you know, the one that I was born under, it said that my characteristic was to be selfish. And oh, that had such an impact on me. I did not want to be selfish. I didn't realize how it affected me for years. But I drove myself. I wanted to make sure I was not selfish. And I was just wearing myself out. Let me tell you, that's not the work of God. That's the work of me. See? You and I can wear ourselves out and not be blessed. It's just me trying to prove a point. I was trying to prove I was not selfish. Then one day I was speaking with Sister Laverna Probes. We was on the telephone. I don't know how it came out, but the Lord exposed to me what I was doing through her judgment of me. You know, the Lord wants to use each other to help us to see ourselves sometimes. When I was able to see that I was trying not to be selfish, it was all from this man's suggestion that affected me, that you're born under that sign so you're selfish and I'm trying to prove it wrong. You know, the Lord does not work that way. He knows how to mold and shape and fashion and purge and he knows how to do all of this if I am selfish or if I am anything that is of a human characteristic that will not be a blessing in his cause and his kingdom. And he knows how to put me on that potter's wheel and he knows how to work and he knows how to bring that out. I don't know how. I would be absolutely probably broken in my nerves by now. I probably would have had a breakdown had I continued on trying to prove that I wasn't selfish. Well, Jesus said in Matthew 20 and 28, here's what he said. He said, the Son of Man came not to be what? Ministered to, but to minister. So if he was not selfish, if he willingly gave his life, then should I not give mine? and serve my family, serve, you know, let's not forget the work of God is also for us to serve our families. It's not leave your families and sacrifice your home and go and work. That's your first obligation, is to serve your families. That's where you're going to learn how to serve others, when you've learned to serve at home. Learn to serve your husband or your wife or your children. And then you're going to be able to serve the saints. You're going to be able to serve mankind. Be able to be a servant. Jesus also said in Matthew 20 and 27, "Whosoever be chief among you, let him be your servant." So we're all called to be servants. You look up that word servant and you'll find a root word in there is slave. Did you know that he wants us, just like the first message that we preached on this about hospitality, we spoke about, I believe it was Stephanus. I might have the wrong name there, but Paul wrote that in there and he said that this man was addicted to serving the saints. You know, to be addicted is not to neglect your family. To be addicted to working for God and working out there and serving other people, it's not to sacrifice your family. So, we need to be a servant. We need to be a slave unto God. And he will, let me tell you something else, and I know that you know this. Our God is not a driver. He is a leader. He is our shepherd. We are his sheep. And sheep were never meant to be burden bearers. And sheep were never to be driven. Their very nature, they would just panic and scatter. They are not like cattle at all. They have to be led gently. And so in your work for God, the way that he leads is not to drive, not to force you. He leads you into a place that you're able to understand and able to get a hold of and able to perform whatever work he's calling for you to do. And he'll give us the power and the grace to do it. Thank the Lord. It's not hard serving God. It's not hard. He is not a hard taskmaster. Thank the Lord. He is a wonderful Savior and head of it all. And he knows how to help us to fill our places in the body. Well, I would like for us to turn to Titus, the second chapter. I'm going to give you a few scripture now. The seventh verse of the second chapter of Titus says this. And this is that part. And we have preached on this, even part of these thoughts of a healthy, productive church of God. We remember we talked about men of age and women of age, and it came down to a young men likewise. Be sober-minded. Well, we want to just give this part now for all of us, no matter our age. And it says, in all things, shewing thyself a pattern of good works. Did you know that's almost like a reputation? Do you want a reputation of being one that does good works? You look for opportunities. You're available. You're ready. You'll do it at a moment's notice. The voice of the Lord can trust you to be in that place and speak those words and perform the duties. That's what we need to be in all things. Showing yourself as a pattern of good works. Now it goes on and it says, in doctrine, in showing uncorruptness, in gravity, in sincerity, in sound speech that cannot be condemned. All of those things is the part of our work for God. And then we turn to 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter and verse 18. And it says that they do good. It says, let's back up. Let's read the verse ahead of it though. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now that's the preceding verse to the next commandment. If we are, I don't think that anyone here that I'm speaking to is what we would call rich, wealthy, a millionaire. I'm not talking to millionaires this morning. But I'm talking to a people that we have sufficient. Most of us have sufficient. We have more than sufficient. We have food in our cupboards and clothing in our closets. And all of these things are a blessing to us. And he's saying, even to us, don't trust in those things. Don't hoard those things to yourself. Don't be selfish. If God wants to call for those things in our life, is he going to just let you starve to death? He will not let us starve to death. He will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. And so now he's saying, this is what I'm going to charge you now with this, that you and I do good. That they be rich in good works. There's a wealth here that he wants you and me to experience. Something that I could feel wealthy. I can only relate to it for the time that we did stop and help the people, the Mexicans that were there by the road. And I wanted so badly to take them to my house and feed them and put them up for the night. And I didn't get to do it, but it was in my heart. And the blessing of the Lord was so rich that I said, oh, I want to do this every day. But those opportunities are only there occasionally. And you have to look for them. And you have to be ready for them and willing and be rich in good works. And then it says, ready to distribute. What does that mean? Just be ready when there is a need. I can have something ready to give. That's what that means. Willing to communicate. Does that mean I'm to just be willing to go up and talk to somebody whenever it happens? It could. But according to what I have studied this out, it says share resources. You and I need to be ready to share what we have. It says laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. There is something about being a servant and doing the works of God, not just to our family, not just to the church of God, but when I have opportunity to the mankind. And my eternal life somehow is hinged on all of that. Okay. Let's go to 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter now. And we want to look at verse 10. Now, this is a very strong scripture. This is speaking about widows. If you look at the verse ahead of it, let not a widow be taken under the into the number under 80 years having been the wife of one man. He's talking about the support of widows. And there is an obligation in to the church. There should be. We may fail on these things sometimes. We may forget this. But this is the teaching that we are to support the widows, the fatherless, visit the fatherless and the widows. There is a special place in God's heart for the widows and for the fatherless. And you and I have an obligation and a duty to them. But I want us to look at what is written here about the qualifications of serving a widow. And so that's in verse 10. A widow that is well reported of for good works. Now, for the sake of the message this morning, because we are not all widows here, this can apply to every one of us today. I don't believe it's something that we just isolated only for one specific case. I believe the Lord is saying the same to us all. He wants us to have a report that we are workers of God for good. And then it said, if she have brought up children, mothers, oftentimes they feel, what's my life? What am I doing in my life? Messages like this, actually I even spoke last Sunday night after we sat down. Sometimes we can minister messages like this and people will get under a crush. Or they'll be accused of the devil. You're not doing anything. Look, and it could be young mothers would feel that way. What am I doing for the Lord? I've got to keep the house. I've got to cook the food. I've got to wash the clothes. I've got to take care of babies. I've got to do this and this. I want to tell you, that is the work of God. You are doing a great work when you carry out what God commands us to do. Husbands, fathers that go to a job that go out and face the world. You're doing the work of God. So don't let the enemy, after a message like this, don't go away and start feeling crushed down. I'm not doing enough. What am I doing with my life? You wait. Wait on the Lord. He will strengthen your heart. He says, wait, I say, on the Lord. He says, I'll show you. I'll lead you. It'll happen right in the everyday course of life. I'll come along and I'll speak to you. I have found that. I have found that God leads us in just the normal routine of life. Keep on doing what you're doing. Do it as unto the Lord, not unto men. The Lord will just lead you right in the right way. So this says, if you're bringing up children, if you have lodged strangers, if you have had that opportunity, if you've given a bed to somebody, I remember the Lord really did bless this, and I'm going to testify to it today. This was after Marvin Cordaway was released from prison, and he had no place to live, and he was out here in back of the chapel under a tent. And got an ear infection one day, and he called me that he had a bad ear infection, and so Lauren was working. I came down here. On the way, the Lord said, you have a bed. So I called Lauren at work and I said, this is what the Lord has said. Is it okay? Can I take him home with me? I mean, I was old enough to be his mother. He was in a pitiful, pitiful condition. Mentally, he wasn't, normal. And You know what happened with that? Marvin got saved. Marvin made an absolute change in his life. Would it have happened if I hadn't yielded to the voice of the Lord? We took him, we had him for several months, 3 months maybe. And, you know, the Lord did a miraculous thing for him. He's not there now, but he had an opportunity. That's what the Lord is looking for you and me to serve our fellow man, even when it's a sacrifice, even when it's not easy. The Lord is going to bless, though. And he had a purpose, and he fulfilled his purpose. It didn't work. I'm sorry that it didn't work, but I don't feel that I have his blood on my hands. So when you lodge a stranger, when you lodge someone, take someone in, you know, I know that there are families among us that seem to have a gift in that. I'm not sure that I have a gift like that. But I have observed some among us that can do it so easily, and just their families just adjust to it. I don't know that I could always have done that. But we only have to obey the voice of the Lord when he says, you've got a bed. That's when you obey it. And then it says, if they've washed the saints' feet, have you and I served one another? Have we washed each other's feet? Have we gone to the ordinance service? Have we humbled ourselves and touched the feet that were ugly and worn? And have we obeyed what the scripture says, that we would be happy if we do those things? I believe it's part of the work of God to serve my brother, to serve my sister in the ordinance of feet washing. And then it says, if she have relieved the afflicted. You know, there's a lot of ways that you and I can relieve those that are afflicted, those that are sick, to sit with them, comfort them. It's so important. It's those that will be dying. They need us. They need us to be there and hold their hands and speak those encouraging words. I remember, not necessarily that we did that with Brother Bob Salee, but we visited him a few nights before he died. I had no idea Brother Bob was going to die. Brother Bob was a very special person to me. He had helped I was working at the school at Guthrie, and I could always go to him and get right counsel. So he was very special to me. And Lauren and I went up there to visit them a night or two before he died. And you know, I was saying all of these words to Bob and encouraging him. And then I said, this is what I said to him. I said, Bob, if I get in this place, you come and say those words to me. That's what we want. We say all of the right words, see, but we want you to come and say all of the right words when we're down like that. It's an encouragement. It's a work of God to be there for those that are afflicted, to those that might be going out. It's what he wants us to do. Thank the Lord. And then it said, and if she have diligently followed every good work. I want to encourage us today. Let's purpose. I'm going to watch. I'm going to observe. I'm going to listen. And when the Lord says, do this, it could be only you driving down the road and the Lord say, pray for that man. That's the work of God. I don't know. I told about on Thanksgiving, and I know it was the Lord, but I didn't think of it being the Lord. I wanted to make some Thanksgiving meals and go feed them to hitchhikers. And at that time, it seemed like there were more hitchhikers on I-35 than there are now. And so it was a cold day, bitterly cold day. And so Lauren and our daughter and myself, I fixed 5 meals. I wanted 5 hitchhikers. Could not find one. And so I was about to be in despair because I really wanted to feed some hitchhikers. And I looked across I-35. He was getting gas. And on the service road was a man walking along. Big old pack on his back. Big old parka coat on. There's my hitchhiker. So we run over there. We ride over there. And we pull up, roll down the window. And I said, "Would you like a Thanksgiving meal?" And I will never forget it. I told this Sunday night. This man, he didn't just answer right away. He looked up like this. You know, I like to think that either he was praying or he had a mother praying somewhere for him. And he turned and he said, "Yes, I would really like that." Why I didn't give him all 5, I don't know, but I just gave him 1 and went off hunting for some more. Never found any more. I believe God sent us for that one man. I can still see his face, and there are times his face comes up before me. Why didn't we get his name? Why didn't I tell him our name? Why didn't I give him a telephone number? Why didn't I give him a track? Somehow, I haven't learned, but I want to do better if I ever do it again. And so his face comes before me every once in a while. And you know, I pray for him. I don't know his name, but I know God knows his name. He knows where he lives. That's the work of God in the earth. Prayer changes people. And things. That's the work of God. And prayer can go wherever that man is. Maybe he got saved. I don't know. Maybe the man in the car that went up I-35, God followed him. I don't know. I'm just saying we need to listen to the voice of the Lord and obey it. So if we have done all of these things, Hebrews 13, I'm almost finished. This one is a little puzzle to me. And maybe somebody might have a little explanation that they could give. The second verse says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." Now, I know the story of Abraham and how that those strangers came. Somehow he perceived that they weren't just normal strangers. And it turned out that they weren't. They were sent from heaven to go and check out Sodom and Gomorrah. When Lot perceived those men, he perceived something different in them too. And he served them also. That's a couple that came to my mind. I can't say that I have ever entertained an angel. I would like to, because I would probably become selfish then. I would want to see inside a glimpse of heaven. And I would think that if an angel came to my house, that he might let me have a glimpse. By the way, the Lord has showed me I will never have that. He has showed me that I must walk by faith, that I'm not going to have that sight, but I sure would like it. So when you and I entertain some strangers, it's possible we could be entertaining angels unaware. And the final scripture is in the 6th chapter of Hebrews, verse 10. And this is what it says. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shewed toward his name. Here again, you're going to have to do it as unto God and not unto men. In that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. That's our little thought today. Pray for me.